We have already heard wonderful songs and a wonderful word. And I would like to especially thank all our brothers and sisters who sing. And the clearer and more beautifully they sing, the better it is. We are very happy about that. And we hope that everything will come together very well. Also with our new brothers and sisters who are joining us, that everyone will feel comfortable and that here in the house of God there will be singing, playing, and the word will be preached. But above all, let us not forget one thing. The house of God is a house of prayer. What we do with prayer. Those who sing and those who play should lay everything before the Lord in prayer and ask Him to give His blessing so that everything may go well to the glory of His name. Even when singing, there needs to be beautiful, divine harmony in our hearts and among ourselves. The same applies to playing. When there is harmony in the hearts of those who play, it can also be heard in what is being played. We are indeed grateful to the Lord and know that He lives. And He has said that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, we will see visions and have dreams. There will be prophecy. There will be everything necessary to give us guidance. And God will not let us lack this. He takes whom He wills, when He wills, where He wills, for He is God, and no one can tell Him what to do. For me, this day, the 2nd of April, as you all know, has a special significance. It is a day I can never forget, will never forget. I think back to that day, and in connection with last night, I can safely say that I did what the Lord commanded. I will never forget that day. No one who has not experienced it can judge that. Our brother said he had the vision in a dream. I did not have it in a dream. I had it after getting up, after pulling the curtains to the right and left, and looking out here in Krefeld, Luisen Street 160, on the second floor. And a new day was about to dawn, but the sun had not yet risen. The night was over, right at daybreak. I cannot forget it. I took a few steps away from the window into the room and have laid the day before the Lord in a short prayer. And when I had finished praying, the mighty voice of the Lord came from above on the right. My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. The next moment I was on the floor. So powerful and mighty was the voice of the Lord. And when I said to the Lord, they will not listen to me, they have everything in plenty, He spoke a second time, my servant, the time is coming when they will hear you. Store in food and groceries, for a great famine is coming. And then you shall stand among the people and give out the food. Details were given. And I have also recorded them in writing in some testimonies. I will never forget the day. It was the 3rd of December of the same year, 1962, when I wanted to ask Brother Branham about it, and he just raised his right hand a little and said, "Brother Frank, may I tell you what the Lord has spoken to you?" I have rarely been embarrassed in my life. I have never been at a loss for words, never at a loss for answers, but at that moment, everything was over. I could say nothing more and ask nothing more. I knew I was in the direct presence of God, and I could see Brother Branham's right eye close a little, not completely. You could see from his face that he was now in another dimension, and like the prophets of the Old Testament, he did not close his eyes when he saw a vision. When you and I see a vision, we do so with our eyes closed. There is no other way. A prophet is different. A prophet has his eyes open, and he sees, nevertheless, he is transported into another dimension by the Spirit of God. When he then told me, sentence by sentence, what the Lord had spoken to me, I was done for. I just sat there and let it all wash over me. And then he said, "Brother Frank, you didn't understand exactly what the Lord meant. You thought there would be an earthly catastrophe and famine, and you stored up earthly food." Then he said, "God will send a famine for his word, and the food that is to be stored up is the revealed word for this time." I will never forget that. And he said, "Wait with the giving out until you get the rest of the food that goes with it." At that time, I knew nothing. This was in 1962, of what the prophet Amos said. God will send a hunger, not for bread and water, but a hunger to hear his word. And people will go from one end to the other to hear the word of the Lord. I think Brother Rus already hit the nail on the head in his opening word. The scribes had their interpretations of the word, but the word in its original meaning had been lost to them through their own interpretation. And so it has happened throughout Christendom. People have lost the original meaning of the word through their own interpretations. But now it has pleased God, at the end of the time of grace, to make his name, his word, great and glorious. As it was not known on earth since the days of the apostles, so it has now become at the end by grace. For it is written in Matthew 24:14, "The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come." And the Lord God has indeed arranged it so that we can prepare and broadcast all programs here in the languages of Europe. And the same God who has brought together people from all peoples, tongues and nations, He can help us in this, can inspire us, can grant us grace, so that a mighty work of God will soon be set in motion, and the peoples of Europe and then the world can be reached with a glorious message of Jesus Christ, with the truth that He is God and no one else, and that the gospel will be preached as in the beginning, that it will be taught, baptized, and so forth. The end must be the same as the beginning. This is what God has decided in His plan, and so it will be. Praised and glorified be His holy name. I had promised to translate the last part up to the healing line very briefly today, and I ask you to accept that. I already said it yesterday evening. We have not translated a sermon by Brother Branham at this place for a very long time. And I heard yesterday evening what a great blessing has come upon us through the translation. The powerful thing about it is this. All of us, and I include myself in this, may have experienced God, may have received confirmations, may have received instructions, and God has done many things for which we are grateful to Him. But the direct confirmation that those born blind receive their sight on the spot, that the dead are raised, that the same thing happens as happened in the ministry of Jesus Christ, according to the scripture, John 14:12, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. We simply have to say it. This actually happened in Brother Branham's ministry. I have already told you here. Miracles of creation actually happened. I will never forget the testimony when the woman with a handkerchief over her face came to the prayer line, and Brother Branham said, "Sister, don't weep, believe, for all things are possible to him that believes." And when he said for the second time, "Sister, don't cry," she put her handkerchief aside, and the cancer had eaten away her nose. She had no nose. She wasn't just crying. She was holding her handkerchief to cover up her missing nose. I don't know what I or we would have done in that case. And the moment he saw her face, he said, "Sister, believe, all things are possible to him that believes." It was in 1958, and I read this testimony in the Herald of Hope afterwards. In exactly 3 weeks, the woman had a completely new nose. Not only miracles of healing have happened, miracles of creation have happened. God has confirmed His word and done great things by grace. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us trust Him, believe Him. He is risen from the dead. He lives. And He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." He still has it today. He is the same today. Hebrews 13:8. It is written above here, and it shall come true here below. What is written above us shall come true among us. Amen. And it will come true. The end will be the same as the beginning. Let us sing, "Only Believe."
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, oh glaube nur, glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, oh glaube nur.
Now, to prove that it was true, walking right out of the crowd come the Messiah. Just an ordinary young man walking down through there dressed like other men. John said, behold, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. How do you know him? He said, he that said to me in the wilderness, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending. That's the one that'll baptize with the Holy Ghost. He knew him because there was supposed to be a sign about that time. Are you catching it?
Amen.
John knew just about the hour. Because he was a prophet. It was revealed to him. They didn't know it would be about that time. He'd see a sign. And when he seen that sign, he said, he's standing among you.
Amen.
He knew it was there.
Amen.
Well, I see the sign.
Amen.
That the end time is here. I see the things that's promised for this end time message coming to pass, unfolding just exactly like the Scripture says.
Amen.
And I know that the time is at hand.
Amen.
I say that without hesitance. I believe it's right at hand.
Amen.
For I see the signs that he said would happen just before that time. It's ready to happen now. John expressed his faith and what God had revealed to him. Therefore, works is faith's testimony. When they see you acting like you're healed, then they'll know you got faith that you are healed. What does testimony say? Saying this, I have it now. Because I have received God's promise. It is now working in me. I am making ready for it to happen. See, that's what your test, your works does. Well, sure, some time ago, next to my last trip in Africa, I was just over there this spring, but trip before that, there's a little baby. It had club feet and 1 foot leg shorter than the other. It never wore shoes in its life. Oh, it's the most horrible deformed. And I prayed for the baby that night. They'd watched and seen those things done. They prayed for the baby. And the next morning I went out and walked by a shoe store. I walked in there, and there was the man buying the baby a pair of shoes to wear. He believed it. Like this man over here that believed that God would give him the baby. Sure, he believed it was going to happen. Made ready for it. I'm making ready. Although no physical results seen as yet, but that didn't make a bit of difference, he believed it. Like Abraham called anything contrary as though it was not so. There. Therefore, if your intellectuals does tell you, oh, here's the stinger now. If your intellectuals does tell you that this is the truth, God is the healer of sickness, your mind can witness that that is the truth. But if there is not the bedding ground in your heart, faith to fall in to express it, it will not happen.
Amen.
No matter how much this outside man can reason it with the Scriptures and say it's right. That still doesn't make it right.
Amen.
How many takes the tapes?
Amen.
Did you get my sermon out long ago? The anointed ones of the last day?
Amen.
Did you believe that?
Amen.
See, it said there will be Antichrist. Antichrist would almost deceive the very elected, if possible.
Can't
because it's impossible. They're elected, see? All right. But he said the anointed ones. See, Christ means anointed. But these were anti, they were anointed, but anti against Christ in their teaching. Now, they could do anything that the rest of them could do. Now, remember, you're in a cycle of threes, but you're one person, like Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Cycle of three, but one person. Three attributes of the same God. Fatherhood, three offices like. Fatherhood, Sonship, and Holy Ghost. And you are body, spirit, and soul. Now the outside body has five inlets to it to contact your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The inside, which is the spirit, it has five senses, conscience and love and so forth. But the inside of that, the soul, has one thing. That's where you live. The spirit can come out here and anoint you to do certain things. And you do it. But that don't mean you're saved.
Amen.
Think of it. Caiaphas is prophesied. Amen. Judas cast out devils.
Amen.
See? The spirit anointed him. This rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
The weeds can rejoice with the wheat. But it's what it is at the core.
Amen.
That's where you can, intellectuals can accept and say, oh, sure, that looks good. I believe that. That's still not good. No, sir. And the spirit can actually make witness of it, and still it isn't so.
Amen.
Because if that soul hasn't come from God, it can make all the impersonations out here, but it cannot be real. You can act healing. You can act like you have. You can act like you receive it. Christians can act like they're Christians and act to be ever so good at it. But that don't mean they're saved.
Amen.
That's exactly right. See? The Spirit can be there. The real, genuine Spirit. The Holy Spirit can anoint you. That still don't mean you're saved. It's that inside soul that never dies. It's got eternal life. It always was eternal life. It comes from God. It goes to God. It's the soul. Now, notice that. It's got to be five. F-A-I-T-H, outside. Spirit, J-E-S-U-S, on the inside, Y-O-U. See? That's how I'm standing here looking at you. I don't know one of you. The Spirit can anoint me. Still, I don't know none of you. But when that inside of the inside breaks in, that's God. That's where the outside can reason. You take a man and say, well, you know, I know I'm not supposed to commit adultery, but, you know, then the Spirit tells me I shouldn't commit adultery. But you see, way down in there is still that thing in there.
Amen.
See? It'll kind of govern around, and better watch it. But when it's directed from the inside, it throws all the rest of it together. That's the guidepost. That's a control tower. The inside of the inside. The soul controls the spirit. The spirit controls the body. So an outside whitewash don't make any difference. Them religious people back there, Paul called whited walls and so forth, they were outward just every way of a believer, and they had prophecies among them and everything else, but the inside of the inside. The soul that disbelieveth. That's the reason I say people can jump up and down and speak in tongues. People can shout, lay hands on the sick and heal the sick and so forth by faith. All these great things there by the Spirit. Still be lost. Anointed ones. Notice, Jesus has said, only believe, for all things are possible to them to believe. Faith and works are husband and wife. They work together. The husband works with the wife with the husband. They identify one another. Like a man says, he's married, and yet he can't produce and show that he has a wife. You doubt his claims. Man said, I'm married. Where's your wife? Well, I don't know about that. Be kind of hard thing for me to believe him. I say, where is your wife? Well, I don't know. I ain't going to believe it. So you see, if you have what you say you have. I have faith. How you go to show me you got faith? By your works.
Amen.
Amen. I'm married. How do I know you're married? This is my wife. See? There you are.
Glory.
I am married. This is my husband. I am healed. How do you know? My work shows my faith. See? Now, what you're speaking of, your faith, is what God sees in you. Your works is what the other people see in you. That's the difference between James and Paul here explaining about Abraham. They never contradicted one another. They're both the same. Marriage. So is faith that doesn't produce works. Anyone has a right to doubt your testimony. Now, do you hear it before we start the prayer line? If your faith doesn't produce works with it, you can't make anyone believe that you're healed. Say, well, I don't know. See, well, yeah, sure, I got all the faith in the world. You don't. Because if you are got faith, then works is married to faith, their husband and wife. One identifies the other one. Let's think of Abraham for just a few minutes. Abraham got that holy union incomplete. See, he got the whole thing together. He called things contrary to his faith as though it was not enacted on the same principle. I can imagine after about 20 years, somebody come by and said, Father of nations? Abram, you said your name was Abraham, which means father of nations. Just how many children do you have right now, Abraham? See? That didn't stumble him a bit. The Bible said he staggered not at the word of God. See what I'm believing? He went right ahead and make it ready, keeping all the booties ready and the bird eye and everything. He's going to have the baby. Go on. Even Sarah said, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have the baby, but I tell you the way we're going to do it. Agar now is my maid. I'm going to give her to you because polygamy was legal then. And she'll have the baby and I'll take the baby myself. But Abraham didn't believe that. Nope, he wouldn't do it. But Sarah was inspired to do it, so God told Abraham, go ahead and listen to her. But he said, yet, this is not what I promised you. This is not the way I promised it. Now watch. He called anything contrary. And his body then dead, and Sarah's womb the same. Now he was an old man, 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. Now notice, the deadness of Sarah's womb, or the deadness of his body, wasn't even brought under consideration. Listen to this. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it was by the law, the heir, faith is made void, and the promise of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Listen to this. Now, who against hope? Against hope. All hopes is gone. Oh, every time I go feel a little blue, here's the chapter I turn to. Romans 4. As it is written, I have made thee a father of nations before him who he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which were not as though they were. God said so. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of nations according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now listen, 19th verse. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving glory to God. At 100 years old, look, his body now dead. His manhood. And Sarah's womb dead. It wasn't even considered when it's revealed to him. That bed is not considered. Your paralytic or whatever you are isn't considered. The wheelchair is not under consideration. For the little boy, maybe paralyzed, whatever it is, I don't know, it's not under consideration. Don't even consider. But the doctor said he'll never get out of here. The doctor said she'll never come. That's not even considered. Well, look, I'm an old person. I'm getting middle-aged. I don't even consider. And we are the children of Abraham. Hallelujah! Not as Isaac was, but his royal seed through Jesus Christ by the faith that he had. Abraham's seed coming forth in the last days to shine like the stars. Abraham's children considered not his own body now dead, neither even considered it. It wasn't even brought into question whether God would do it or not. God said he would do it. Why? It was revealed to him. Is that right? When it's revealed to you, when it really is something you can't make it happen, it's got to be revealed to you. Then you don't even consider anything else. How impossible it is, don't consider what the doctor said, you don't consider what mama said, what papa said, what the preacher said, what anybody else said, you just consider what God said. He considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb that wasn't even brought under consideration. Oh, my. That just shakes me. Body dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, without even brought under consideration. No circumstances will be considered when faith finds its bedding ground. When a germ gene from a man finds the egg in the woman and both of them fertile, something's going to happen. Hallelujah! The doctor can say you will not have a baby. I can prove that your genes are dead in your body and her eggs will never be fertile. But let that fertile egg, let that germ twist itself to that egg one time. Watch what happens. That little boy or that little girl comes on the scene. Why? Faith has found its bedding ground. Works goes to work. Cell on top of cell. And here comes the little fellow. Amen. God have mercy upon us. Oh God, if we were rugged Christians like we should be. If we were men and women who could take God at His word. You can't do it until it's revealed to you. I got to hurry. Notice, the holy faith of God was united with the holy works of His prophet. Remember, God's holy faith was revealed to Abraham. He received it, and by there he started with his holy works by believing the seed of promise had a place to grow. What did that Abraham mean? Well, you know, Sarah, after all, this has been 25 years since God made that promise. It's something that happened. See? But it wouldn't. God knowed it wouldn't. What if the Virgin Mary said, well, now, wait a minute. A virgin conceived? Well, they'll throw me out of my church if I go and say such a thing as that. Now, she would have thought those thoughts if it hadn't been that prepared bedding ground. When that prophet said, a virgin shall conceive, that settled it. These signs shall follow them that believe. If a bedding ground is laying there, when that word drops there, it takes a hold. There's nothing can stop it. Now quickly, while we finish. See, the seed had a place to hide. God knew it or He'd have never given the promise to Abraham. Now listen real close now. God knowed where that promise was going to. He never even called Abraham till he's 75 years old. But he was His predestinated servant from the beginning. So was Sarah. Notice, remember, he had no Bible to read from. He didn't have it as easy as we got it today to read His Word and see others who've took it. Remember, he only had it by revelation. And that's the real thing. Same as it was by Joseph in Genesis. There was no Bible. Remember, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. None of those characters in there had any Bible to read till after Moses. Is that right? They didn't have a Bible that we got to help us along in our crippled condition. They were rugged men who was revealed to them by God and they stood right there. Nothing moved them. Now, do you think that we can still have that rugged faith? If it's revealed to you. Pardon the expression. Or the testimony at this time, just before closing. I remember, up here in Twin Cities, I think Brother Brown and them was with me. Now, I was taking the life of Joseph in the Bible. And I read that Bible. There was a man there was nothing against. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them had something against them. But not Joseph. What a man. A perfect man. A perfect type of Christ. When I read that, I just got to crying one day in my little hotel room. And I went over to the closet where I had my clothes hanging, pulled the door together. I said, God, I want to thank You for a man like Joseph. A man who once lived on the earth, a man in flesh like I am. A man that could believe You and take Your word. He was hated of his brothers. He couldn't help being spiritual. He saw visions. He could interpret dreams. All of them hated Him for it. He couldn't help that. That's just what He was. See? It just wasn't to the others. They ought to have loved Him. But instead of that, when He told them sometimes things against them, oh, they said, here comes that dreamer. And they hate Him without a cause. I said, why did they do that? And yet that man never moved. He stayed right there. See? I said, thank You, Lord. Oh, God, thank You for such a man. Right then the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Said, you'll have a son. and you'll call his name Joseph. I got up from there and thanked the Lord. Becky's sitting back there, just been born about it. She's about a year old. She's a Caesarean that runs into my wife's family to be Caesarean because they don't unhinge like the woman should. Your bones are solid like a man. And she had to be cut from her mother. And the doctor told me, he said, Brother Branham, don't you never have another child with this woman. Said, her womb is as thin as a balloon. He said, you better let me tie those tubes. I said, no, I wouldn't, don't think about doing that, Doc. He said, well, she shouldn't have another child. I said, you're going to ruin her. I said, she'll die. I said, we had an awful time there. I said, she just did come through. And then the Lord told me I was going to have a son and his name would be called Joseph. I never scared about it. Many of you remembered. I went forth announcing it. I'm going to have a baby. His name's going to be Joseph. How many remembers it? Sure. All around over the country, everywhere, telling people, going to have a baby. His name's going to be Joseph. Just the same as that little boy was raised up in Finland from the dead. Brother Jack was right there when it happened. Told you 2 or 3 years before it happened. It'd be a little boy, how he'd be dressed, where he'd be laying. God said so. How's it going to be? I don't know. But it was revealed to me that was going to happen. It was revealed to me I was going to Arizona and there I'd meet 7 angels. And they'd tell me and a message that I was to preach and that was the 7 seals. It happened. Amen. How many remember saying that? The tapes of these before it happened. And it happened. Magazines, everything else took the picture of it. That light there in the air, they can't even understand it yet. There it was. I remember calling Brother Jack and asking him about that Christ being standing there. And Brother Jack said that's in his glorified state. See, I love Brother Jack. He's one of the best theologians I know of. But I just couldn't hit this right. I was standing there, I said, Lord, how is this young man here? I said, with hair like wool. And he said, he is wigged. Watching the book before it ever happened. I said that. And that day, when that happened, it went up. Then you turn that picture sideways. If you got Luke magazine or Life magazine, turn sideways. There he is, if perfectly, Hoffman's head of Christ.
Amen.
Looking right down where I was standing. There it is in the magazine. How many's ever seen it? Of course,
you
see. There, looking right back. Proved exactly the revelation was correct. Why wigged? Why the old English judges, the Jewish judges, used to wear a wig. They do yet in England. When he's got supreme authority, he wears a wig. And that showed him standing there wigged by angel's wings. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the supreme God. Or none other but him. He's to look upon as Alpha and Omega. And there he was, a young man, no more 30 years old, wearing a wig of white, showing that he was supreme God.
Amen.
The Father has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But revelation is never wrong. Speak it anyhow, no matter what it sounds like.
Amen.
Goes right with the Word.
Amen.
I remember 4 years later, my wife, we knew we was going to have a baby. Everybody said, is this Joseph coming? I said, I guess it is. I don't know, but I'm going to have Joseph. When it was born, it was Sarah. Then a man called me up and laughed in my face. He said, say, you know what? You meant Josephine. The man died.
Amen.
The man died.
Amen.
I said, sir, I said, God told me I was going to have a son, and I called his name Joseph. There's 3 people that left a certain denomination church and come to our church and heard me saying that. When Sarah was born, they said, huh, he's a false prophet. I said, wait a minute, ladies. I never said when, neither did God say when. He told him told Abraham he's going to have a Isaac, but Ishmael was born in between that time.
Amen.
But he didn't take it away.
Amen.
I said, God said I'd have a boy and he'd call his name Joseph. The doctor said when he come up, he said, Reverend, I'm going to tie those tubes now. I said, I said, don't you do it. He said, well, you might get married again and have that boy. I said, I'm going to have it by her. God said so. I couldn't read it out of the Bible, but it was wrote on my heart by revelation, by faith. God said so. They want to stagger the promise of God's your unbelief. Some of them said, you meant Josephine. I said, I meant Joseph. Doctor said, she can have another baby. I said, she will have another baby. 4 years passed. Finally, she's going to be mother again. Then a woman of false prophecy sent forth across the country writing words saying, now Meade's going to die during this time because I was sent to lead Bill. And said that, and he won't listen to me because I'm a woman and God's going to get even with him now by killing his wife. I said, God sent Jesus Christ to lead me. I said, I'm led by the Spirit. Poor little Meade, we had a nurse that's been healed there in the meetings. You all know Mrs. Morgan, one of Mayo's nurses, the worst case of, well, she's on the record, dead about 20 years ago of cancer, sarcomas cancer in Louisville, right on the Baptist hospital record. She's nursing in Jeffersonville in the hospital now. She's been there for all these years because God said she'd live. And so Meade loved her. She said, I want Margie to come with me, Bill. I don't feel like going to the hospital. I said, don't make, we love Margie. But Margie's not our God. Margie's our sister. And I took off up to Green's Mill. She got me all tore up. Of course, I love her. And I went up to Green's Mill and she said, Bill, you think I'm going to die? And I said, I don't know. But the baby's going to be born anyhow. You're going to have a Joseph. She said, is this him? I said, I don't know, honey. I can't say, but God said he's going to have Joseph. And we're going to have Joseph. I don't care what anything says. We're going to have Joseph. Well, the same God that's told me all these revelations told me that. He never failed on others, and he won't fail on that.
Amen.
I went up the mill to pray and started there. There stood that light hanging between two trees. He said, go back to your word, to the book. I went back to the Bible and while I'm laying in my car, when I did the wind, it blowed it over. The word Nathan was setting to David. Said, go tell my servant David, I took him from that sheep coat, from feeding those few sheep of his father's. Now I made him a great name, like the great man. Not all the greatest name, but just like great man. Never made him a Billy Graham, but I give him a name, you know. Said, I've done that. But said, I can't let him build a temple. But his son, and this soon said his son's, oh my, there it was. I said, Joseph, that's right. Right down the house and went there. The little fellow, so big, she could, big old boy, she couldn't hardly walk. Going out through the field, I run through my arms and I said, honey, Joseph is coming. Joseph is on his road. Anyone knows the sincere and you can't let the baby drop. That night, the baby dropped, the water broke, everything else. Next morning, 7 o'clock, I went over to the hospital. The doctor said, oh, mercy goodness. I kissed her goodbye. I said, honey, it won't be long. Joseph will be here. Right up the steps, she went like that on the operating table. A few minutes, nurse come down and said, Reverend Branham? I said, yes, ma'am. Said, you got a fine 7-pound, 3-ounce boy. I said, Joseph, son, welcome. Yes, sir. Wow! Why? What is it? It wasn't written in the Bible that would happen. But the same God of the Bible that revealed it to Abraham. We didn't consider the deadness of her womb, the impossibility to be that way. You don't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but you give praise to God. No, that's got to happen. I don't care what doctor says. Everything else will come in all kind of a way, but don't you believe it. It's a lie of the devil. Yes, sir. True. Faith goes about together with works to create the promise. Let's hurry. Just as Zach says, yeah, Rahab the harlot, James said, was justified by works. But why? Her faith. She said, I hear that God is with you. She didn't want to see how Joshua wore his hair, how he wore his clothes. She said, I understand that God's with you. That's all that's necessary. She may read. Just as true vision today, I'm closing just in a moment. True vision from God today, it's a promised word for the day. Say these visions, Brother Bram, where do you get that? People stumble at that. Did not Acts 2:17 said it shall come to pass in the last days? Amen. That your young man shall see visions, your old man shall dream dreams. Isn't that right? Amen. That's what the Bible said. All right. Now, if that's so, also look at Malachi, the 4th chapter, and find out if this isn't promised today. How can you have faith in it? The Bible said so. Now you take Luke 17:30 and read it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Just like it was at Sodom. Now look at the position of the world today. Sodomite. Look at that Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, them two witnesses down there witnessing to the denominational churches. One to the Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterian. The other to the Pentecostals. This one, that one, and the other one. But remember, Abraham wasn't in Sodom. He's already called out. And there was one stayed and talked to him. And the one stayed and talked to him showed him a sign. With his back turned, he said Sarah was going to have the baby that he had waited on. Yeah. Amen. With his back turned. And he called it God, Elohim. Now, that brings to pass today because we have faith and I know this is of God is because this and other scriptures point to this hour. Revelation 10 says that in the hour of the seventh angel's message, When he begins to sound forth his message, not in the healing service, but the message that follows the healing service. Amen. Jesus went forth and preached. He said he healed the sick and everything. Oh, that young rabbi, that prophet, he's a great fellow. We want him in our church, but one day he stood up and said, I, my father, are one. Oh, my. They didn't want him no more then. Yeah. Oh, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. He didn't explain it. He said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, I imagine some doctors and nurses said, this fellow's a vampire, trying to get a drink of his blood. See, they didn't understand it. He knowed it. But them disciples, they might not have been able to explain it, but they sat there and believed it anyhow. Amen. For it was revealed to them. Yes, sir. They knowed it. The Scriptures had declared it. It could be asked then to me of this, if you might say, why do you have faith to believe in these visions? When there's so many false impersonation goes for, I'm going to speak a little something strong just for a minute now. When so many false impersonations are around, remember, my brother, they are also spoken of that they should be here at this same time. Exactly. Just as it was in the times of Moses. Moses went down to perform the works of God before the people, and there was Jambres and Jambes standing there. But who was first to do it? Then these others was impersonators. Because there had to be original first for them to impersonate. If they'd been the original, we're not lost. We know where we're at. See, by the Scripture and by the revelation of God. That's why you can still stand. Well, this man, he sees visions and so forth. He does this and he run around with this man's wife. He believes in three gods and all these things. That don't stagger to them. Now, here's one thing they can't impersonate, the Word. Notice. They can have all these things. They can speak in tongues. They can shout. Dance in the Spirit and still be devils. That's right. That's right. But this Word measures them up. That's exactly right. This Word comes to them. As Moses and Jambres. And remember, he said, as Jambres and Jambres withstood Moses, in the last days these impersonators arise on the earth again. Did he say it?
Amen.
Well, we got them.
Amen.
Well, that didn't stagger Moses. When Moses turned around and done a miracle in the name of the Lord, and here stood these impersonators done the same thing, that is time to say, well, I guess I better quit and go off the field. He stayed right there. For what? It was revealed to him. Hallelujah. He knew by the Word of God. He knew the Word would finally catch up with him. He knew there'd come a time when the Word would manifest itself and they couldn't go no further. So have I known this all these years.
Amen.
Right. That the time would come when any miracle, if God sends a real miracle, there's always a change in the whole system. If God sends something into the church and the old system's not changed, He sent it in vain.
Amen.
When a message goes forth in signs and wonders, there is a message follows that. When Jesus went forth healing the sick, then come His message. I am the Father or one. I am He. See? See, they didn't believe that. They believed His miracles. He said, if you can't believe me, believe those miracles. Amen. Well, they testify to you who I am.
Amen.
Oh, my. Glory! Who was first? Moses. Then they impersonated him. But the great truth still remains the same. Between the right and wrong, they cannot accept the message.
Amen.
They cannot accept the message that's unadulterated from the Word of God. I don't care. Judas could have done all kinds of signs and wonders, but when he came to receive the Holy Ghost, at the day of Pentecost, he showed his colors. That devil can come right up and impersonate right to the very thing that comes to this Word, but he can't take all that Word. He can bring it all up maybe to one word, like Eve did. The devil did to Eve, but he can't cross it all because the whole thing is the body of Christ. See? Word now. Neither could, they could not, cannot take the message now. Neither could Jambres and Jambres take Moses' message. They could not do it. Their works of impersonation was made known. Because they could not be able to follow God's Word vindicated by His anointed prophet.
Amen.
They could not follow Israel out.
Amen.
Why? They were denominational Egyptian babies. They could not follow that Word. If they did, they had to leave Egypt. And now all was good to them and they couldn't do it. Although they could impersonate the works. And do what Moses did. But their folly was made manifest when it come time to leave. Then God really poured out it on them. Same now. They might do all kind of false impersonations and things. That don't do them, but just magnify the right thing. And any believing child knows that's the truth.
Amen.
Here you see in plain view then the works of their folly, of their impersonation. If your works is the true word and vindicated by your faith, it will manifest and as a promise of God in its original written word. Jesus said, if I do not the works, listen close, if I do not works, let me add this to it. That is, if I do not the works the Scriptures tell you I will do, then do that in my age. When I come, what the Messiah was supposed to do, when He comes, if the things that I do, if God doesn't vindicate that word that He said would happen, if my life doesn't make that word live just exactly what it said it would do, don't miss this. Jesus saying, you know what the Messiah is supposed to do? Then if that word that's written, and then it don't manifest itself through me, then I am not He.
Amen.
Then the day that I speak of is wrong. What John said about me was untrue. And then if I, not that Messiah, if those works that Messiah was supposed to do, He is to be the Lord your God, shall raise up a prophet like unto me, and you haven't had a prophet for hundreds of years. And if them works that I do, that God promised, if they aren't manifested in my present life, then I am not He. But if the promised word of this age is vindicated in me, then I am He.
All right.
And the promise has come to you.
Amen.
Oh, my. Don't see how much plainer it could be.
Amen.
If the promise isn't. Oh, then if the promise of that day is manifested in my ministry, said Jesus, then I am He. So if you can't hardly believe who I am, then look at the works as promised for this day. Amen.
Amen.
Look at the works as promised. If them works isn't fulfilled, every one of them in me, then don't believe me because I've told you wrong. If you can't believe me, just look what the Bible said would happen in this day. If it isn't happening, then it isn't right. If these false things isn't here and all these other things and things are supposed to take place, if it isn't here, then I'm wrong. But if it is, Jesus said, then I'm He.
Amen.
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 I am He that was promised to come. Oh my. Same works that was promised in His day vindicated Him to be that Messiah. Don't you believe that?
Yes.
Well now, brother, if the works of Luke, the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, the promise of Jesus Christ just before His coming that the world would turn back to Sodom, and the messengers would go out, and the things would be done just exactly, if that isn't taking place, then don't believe me that I've told you the truth. But if it is taking place, then believe that it's Him. In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh, you people, the church, just exactly like it was before the days of Sodom, a called out group away from all of them.
Amen.
Setting out, believing the promise of God. Glory.
Glory.
Then the works that the Holy Spirit is doing today by these visions, never failing, promises, never failing, all the apostolic signs promised to the Bible of Malachi 4 and all, the Revelation 10:7, all of that is being fulfilled and proved by scientific every other way.
Amen.
And if I haven't told you the truth, these things would not happen. But if I have told you the truth, they bear record that I've told you the truth.
Amen.
He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the manifestation of His Spirit is catching away a bride.
Amen.
Let that faith revelation fall into your heart that this is the hour. Now let us pray. Dear God, who was manifested in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, that raised up from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures, and ascended on high, and sent the disciples out to disciple all the world, and said, these signs shall follow them that believe. God, to the Pentecostal church of this day, the restoration of the gifts. May, Lord, those men, maybe some of them present here, some of them here in the tape around the world, may they realize that this is the calling out of the bride, not a Pentecostal message. The Pentecostal message was to restore the gifts back in the church. But this is the calling forth of the bride. Another message that was to come just before Sodom was to be burned. Let them understand, dear God. Faith, I believe this because it's revealed by your Spirit through the Word of God and has been vindicated and made manifest to the whole world. Certainly, Lord, in a minority, always your groups are that way. But you said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. So I pray, God, that man will look away from their intellects, or look away from what they might think was right, and look into the Scripture. And it was spoken last night, let the people here think like the queen did in the days of the great destruction of Babylon. She said, there is a man among you named Daniel, was in your father's kingdom. The Pentecostal father was in his kingdom, and he is a dissolver of all doubts. And now, Lord, let the Holy Spirit that was in the Pentecostal kingdom, the kingdom that was Martin Luther's, was John Wesley's, and on through to John Smith and Alexander Campbell and down through the age, he's a dissolver. He dissolved the thoughts and the people in the days of Luther that man, the just, should live by faith. The Methodists, he dissolved all the doubts that they should be sanctified. And in the days of the Pentecost, they spoke in tongues, give the manifestations of the Spirit by divine healing and so forth. It dissolved all the doubts in the Pentecostals' heart. But, oh God, they denominated. They went right back out to take man's ideas. Therefore, now when the bride is being called, as you promised it, you're the Scriptures reading it before the world night after night, and we watch it with our eyes. God, may it dissolve all the doubts of the people's heart. May they flee quickly to the open sun to be ripened, to be taken into the garner, and not be left in the stalk to be burned. But may they go to the garner tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you for your attention. Let God deal with your heart.
I believe we all feel the same way. And I truly hope that we all sensed that this was not just a sermon that anyone could put together by studying the Bible, searching for and finding relevant scriptures on the subject. It was something completely different. It was revelation of the Word and the will of God. It was and is about bringing the church up to date in the kingdom of God. And as we probably heard correctly there, God had times when certain things happened. In our day, what God has promised for this time must happen. We cannot look back. And as sometimes happens, some people look back to the days of Luther, others to the days of Wesley, others to the days of John Smith, the founder of the Baptist churches, and others to William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army. We cannot look back. We must look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we must recognize from His Word the promises for this time. In order to anchor our faith in these promises, so that God's Word can become a living revelation to us, not that we reinterpret, but that God's will is revealed to us through the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. I feel good. This sermon was worth hearing. It has a lot to say to me and to all of us. And believe it, as it has been at all times, so it is now. It is not the established religions and denominations that accept the supernatural work of God. They have their own order of church services. Do you think you could go into any church in this city with a tape recorder and say, "Listen, dear people, we have God's message that you must hear"? Ha! Goodness gracious, we would be out faster than we were in. Today, there is no room for the Lord. He is outside, while inside they sing and perform all kinds of things. He himself is outside, knocking and saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice." Yesterday we also heard and read what his voice is. His voice is his word. And whoever hears his voice, hears his word. God has always had a remnant. And so it is now. Let us not expect that the whole world will accept it. But one thing I can assure you with conviction. All those in our generation who are destined for eternal life will hear and accept God's word. All who are destined to participate in the rapture will accept, hear, believe the message that is necessary for the calling out, for correction, and straightening out all the errors in order to put an end to Babylon doctrinally and to place the clear language of God, the pure teaching of the apostles, upon the lampstand. All these are conditions for finding a church that is truly without spot or wrinkle at the return of Jesus Christ. Just as the scribes and Pharisees introduced their own doctrines and have set aside the Word of God, so our task is exactly the opposite, namely to set aside everything that has been introduced that is unbiblical and unauthorized in order to re-establish the Word of God as valid, lawful, and binding for the Church of the Living God. And may God help us to tackle the pillars of Babylon and shake the whole building. And may the house of God, which lies in ruins, be rebuilt into a holy temple in which God can reveal Himself, that He can be the corner and the capstone, Alpha and Omega. And we, as living stones, are placed in this divine building, As our brother so beautifully said, being built into this pyramid, it began very much like a pyramid, broad at the bottom, becoming narrower at the top. We must expect that in the end there will only be a minority, but God will ensure that everything will happen in the right way at the right time. Let us now thank our God with all our hearts and souls for informing us, for letting us know through His Word what it's actually about right now. We would not have known this on our own. Let us stand up and thank the Lord together. Brother Rus will pray with us. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word. Faithful Lord, we thank you that you do not stand still, but that you go ahead. And all who belong to you, you go ahead with them, O Lord. And you have said, my sheep hear my voice. Lord, we thank you that we may hear your voice. And it has spoken to us again this morning. We worship you and praise your glorious name. We thank you, Lord, that you have made yourself known so powerfully in our days, Lord. Throughout all time, what has happened in our days has not happened, O Lord. For this we are glad and thankful. And we believe, Lord, that you will do even more, Lord. Praised and glorified be your glorious name. We give glory to you alone, not to any human being, nor do we want to glorify any human being, but we believe, Lord, just as you used Abraham and Elijah and Paul, Lord, and all the others, you have also had men in our days, Lord, and you still have them, Lord. Praise and thanks, honor and glory be to your wonderful name. May your message still be proclaimed, Lord, that many may still hear it for a witness, Lord. Praise and thanks be to you also for this morning hour. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.